Hello and welcome to another episode of the End of the Woods podcast. And yes, this week I have a guest, and yes, I'm talking F1. I know a lot of people would say, Ryan, nobody cares about F1 here in the States. And I say, I beg to differ, as we discuss with Spanners Ready. Who is my guest this week? At Spanners Ready on Twitter, host of the Missed Apex F1 podcast. You can find on Twitter and missedapexpodcast.com. He has a whole website. He's further along than I am. Most people are. So we talk F1, we talk getting older, we talk crushing your male reproductive organs in between your thighs. We talk about anything because that's what we do on this podcast. We don't have there's no plan. There's no set schedule. If you couldn't tell, we're kind of just winging it. You know, we're the bargain bin of podcasts, and that's okay because we can still get guests and we can still get them internationally. I know a lot of people said we couldn't get it done, but hey, we did. So please enjoy the show. We're talking F1. If it's not for you, maybe it would be. You know, enjoy it. It's all about the fun. It's about the drama. It's about antagonists, protagonists, good guys, bad guys. You know, things that we like here in the United States. So please enjoy the podcast. I will talk to you next week. I'll give you all my takes on the Oscars and the outfits, right? That's what I always do. Who actually watches the Oscars for the outfits? Oh, what is she wearing? Oh, is it sparkly? Oh, she looks so good. I could never do that. Maybe it's just my vein and my hatred for other people. Maybe I'm just a hater. Maybe I'm just a hater. Have we considered that I'm just a hater? Well, you know, you learn something new every day. So please enjoy the podcast. I will talk to you guys next week. Thank you so much. Subscribe, rate, and review. Enjoy the show. Please enjoy this conversation with Spanners Ready from the Miss Apex F1 podcast.
Travel on, there's one day here and the next day gone. Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside every darkened door where blues won't haunt you anymore. Where the brave are free and lovers soar, come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate to break down the garden gate. There's not much time left today.
Okay, so I finally have an international guest on the Into the Woods podcast, my first international guest. You have the honor of being the first guest from not in the United States. I have today Spanners Ready of the Missed Apex podcast, an F1 podcast. How does it feel to be the first international guest on another American show for you?
I feel like a voyager. I've just landed on a strange planet, and it's not really so rare anymore to interact with people from across the pond anymore. No. So like when I started doing my podcast, Missed Apex Podcast, missedapexpodcast.com, patreon.com/missedapex, always be promoting.
Always.
When I first started that with my American co-host, he was like a novelty in Formula One because it was so weird to listen to an American voice talking about F1 and not IndyCar or NASCAR. And I used to kind of just wheel him out as my token American because he sounded like the telly. You know, he sounded like he was from NYPD Blue or some kind of sci-fi thing. And I'd be like, yeah, here I am for my F1 podcast. And look what I've got. I've got an American. You know, it's about Formula One. And then just by him speaking, it was like, you know, and but that excitement has kind of petered away because all you Americans have now flooded the Formula One. And plus, you know, the world has gotten a lot smaller with Zoom, especially over COVID. And now I find that maybe a third of my interactions are either with Americans or Australians or even continental Europe sometimes.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Even after Brexit, they still want to talk to you guys.
Yeah. They banned us from talking to all Europeans, but sometimes we sneak through and we have a prohibited conversation with a Frenchman.
That's interesting. The American part is what I was going to start with. So F1, for example, has grown exponentially. I'm part of the Drive to Survive generation. I turned it on last winter after I would listen to podcasts. I don't know if you're aware of Ryan Russillo. He works for The Ringer as well, which you obviously are on the...
In that case, I'd better say yes, hadn't I?
Yes, you should. Yeah, probably. He would talk with Kevin Clark, who you've met, and they would talk about F1, and they were talking about this title fight between Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton, who I was aware of just being on the internet. They were impossible to get away from for years. And there's this title fight and there was this thing that happened in Abu Dhabi. We don't have to get into it.
Too soon.
So I think what really drove the drive to survive thing was interesting because us Americans love an antagonist, a protagonist. We want to root for people. We want to have villains to root for. I mean, I think that's why court cases are so popular in the States because we can,
Oh my God, that shouldn't be a thing. You
No.
guys are aware that that shouldn't be a thing,
I
right?
agree. We like dissect these people's lives after they might kill their family, for example. Like it's really kind of weird what we're doing.
Yeah, you can't cheer. You can't cheer because someone's going to get incarcerated because they did a really bad thing.
I
Like,
mean,
A, you just found out the agreed truth of a horrific situation, and
yeah.
somebody is going to be kept in a no. Yeah, no, that's weird. And like, a lot of those things do come over to the UK, but that one hasn't spread. So we definitely had your who's that Jerry Springer? You
Yeah,
know,
Jerry Springer, yes.
where you had people's private lives like just exposed their affairs, their weird kinks. And then we had Jeremy Kyle come and do it, the same, his version of it in the UK. It's the most disgusting TV possible. But thankfully, the watching crimes unfold live in court hasn't really spread to the UK yet.
Well, so now speaking of watching crimes, we could talk Abu Dhabi
Abu Dhabi
decision.
2021. And I think we should at length.
Yes, we should. We should. Nobody's talked about
No
this.
one's covered it. No one's
Yeah. But why do you think that is it? Do you think that Americans have gotten on the F1 because of onto F1 because of Drive to Survive being so maybe it's making stuff up, which I'm fine with making up, whatever storylines they want, as long as they're not like it's never been bad. It's always like, oh, this person might be, kind of a dick sometimes. And it's just kind of how it is. And we like to root for that.
We can swear here.
We can say whatever you like. This is on the
Oh, I
internet.
see. See, I know people might not necessarily know who I am, but
Sure.
I'm a family friendly kind of broadcaster in the UK, local BBC radio. I was a gardening host for a couple of
Oh,
years,
wow.
Saturday morning, lunch times, that kind of thing. Just go, hello, I'm Spanners. Tell me about your trip to the park and what's your favorite kind of trip to the park. So all very nice and family friendly. So we never swear on my podcast, you see.
Yeah,
So I will
of
call
course.
people at worst, I will call people a turnip, right? So when
That's
they
it.
hear me on another interview or on another podcast, and I suddenly realize I'm allowed to swear, and I can go, woohoo, fuck, fuckity, fuck, fuck, fuck.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, Spanners did a swear. Creating a narrative, absolutely no problem with that. Like, it's entertainment, of course it is. It's not WWE levels of entertainment
Sure.
where, that the risk is there that you then get the characters playing towards the camera. And I think the only ones who've really done that, maybe Gunther Steiner's kind of bought into his own kind of meme factory where
Yeah.
he now feels like he has to, F and curse and everything. And Horner seems to play up to it. And maybe Toto Wolff as well, because that kind of has changed their public image and their public perception. But I think on the whole, it hasn't really done that to the drivers. The drivers seem broadly professional and calm and centered. And what it's done is just shone a light on elements of their story that we might not have necessarily known from watching the race. And like we've got more information about Formula One than we've ever had. And it does make the season meatier. It makes it more of a thing. When I first started watching F1 in 1874, there was maybe 12 to 16 races a season. And yeah, so this is like late 80s, I started watching it. So between Formula One races, there was a lot of time, and I just wouldn't think about it. And I'd get really excited. Maybe Saturday, I'd watch qualifying, and then Sunday, I'd get excited for the race, fall asleep usually during the middle of it. So you'd watch the first lap, and that would be really exciting. It would settle down, and then nothing would happen, and you were just waiting for engine failures. And then you kind of doze off, and then you wake up a bit like, oh, where's John Alesi? Oh, burgers. Burgers engine didn't explode. Oh, no, there it goes. And so it was such a different experience. We just didn't have the information. And for example, like we didn't have clues in the off season of who was going to do well, who wasn't going to do well. So you'd literally be there on Sunday on the first day, and they go, please don't let Schumacher be good again. Please don't let Schumacher be good again. Come on, F1 gods, deliver us from this Schumacher curse. And then he'd be amazing. And you go, oh, damn it. And that would be that set for the year. So we're spoilt now with the Drive to Survive narrative, but also just the amount of incredible journalism. So I think there's room for everyone.
Of
There's
course.
room for the people that want the drama and the WWE. There's room for the tech heads. tech is never been more interesting and never better covered, the actual engineering side. You can just be a pure petrol head and just like the experience of watching fast cars going vroom, or like me, you can be really into the sporting side of it. Like I don't really care once the cars hit the track about who's got the diffuser, monkey seat, triple blown pull rod, sure. Vortex. I recognize that's all cool, but I like the sporting side of it, the attempts at the overtake, the strategy of it as well. So you can come at it at all different angles. If you want to be be into it for the narrative and the gossips and know who's everyone's girlfriends and boyfriends are, then that's great. Just enjoy it in the way you want.
I do think what you're saying, I think the team principals have become the bigger stars, mainly because we talk to them throughout the race. You said that Christian Horner, I think he loves the media. I know he might act like he doesn't. I think he's lives for it. Like every week he goes out there, he'll say something, he'll sprinkle in something about whatever just to get people talking. So I do think he loves it. So when you say you just enjoy the cars on the track, do you, or like the strategy of the racing?
The sport of it.
Yeah. Mm. Which I've come to more enjoy, because at the beginning of last year, I became a Ferrari fan for no other reason than I was. I'm actually more a Charles Leclerc fan. I've been trying to get him on this podcast. If you ever talk to him, can you let him know for me?
He's just next door. Ryan wants to buy.
I've been asking him trying to get in touch with his people. Mm-hmm. His people are hard to get in touch with, but I just became a fan of his because I liked his fiery. He was more like, he seemed kind of crazy where everything would go wrong. He just swore in the car when things happened. Other people were calm. He was not. He was out of control. I loved it. I was like, this is perfect.
That man does not need critics, does he? Because his own brain. He's just like, okay. So if you've not been watching, F1, appreciate this is not an out and out F1 show. Sure. Just talk about things that aren't F1. Pointless, but okay, whatever. But like, he'll crash into something and he'll be calling himself stupid. Why? And he'll just be giving himself that lecture, but whilst pressing the comms button. So
yeah,
goodness knows what he says when he doesn't press the comms button. So that was actually a big worry, was that he was putting too much pressure on himself. And like he binned it, I think, in a podium position in Baku. I probably has up there the highest Friday practice crashes rate,
where
he's pushing himself so hard. So yeah, there is a kind of win or bin mentality from him. But he's undoubtedly fast. But a lot of drivers have had that kind of crazy over the edge trait and have brought it back. So namely like Verstappen.
Yes.
In the process of bringing it back, but hadn't done by 2021. But my goodness, he didn't mind if his teammate was in the way. He'd barge his teammate out of the way.
Well, that's famously Daniel Ricciardo in Baku. Yeah,
Daniel Ricciardo in Baku. Crazy, crazy. And then, so he's made F1 change the rules of driving so many times, because there was honestly like, oh, we didn't realize we had to specifically say you couldn't do that. And then they had to make, a Verstappen rule about it. Hamilton as well. My goodness, 2011, he went off the rails. He hit Massa maybe 85 times over the course of two seasons. And he just seemed to be finding himself in incident after incident. And then you bring it back and then you calm down and you turn into a bit of a different racer. So hopefully Leclerc matures, and part of that will be leaving your new favorite team.
Yeah.
They're never winning a championship again.
Well, the funniest joke I make every Saturday or Sunday is the Ferrari team radio comm that comes over that says, "We are checking," where they just come over and say, "We're checking."
I do. I use that in my day to day life. We are checking. And I say, there's the other one I say to my wife is when Sainz was told that he needed to let Leclerc by for some reason or not attack Leclerc last season. And he came on the radio and he said, "Stop inventing. You're just you're making up reasons why I can't." So I say that in arguments with my wife.
I think that was in Silverstone where they told him to give him 10 lengths.
Oh yeah.
And he's like, "Don't do that. Don't do that."
Yeah. 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 Well, good luck enjoying Ferrari. It's not at all a heart wrenching, gut treading, heart stomping experience. They've already sacked their chief aerodynamicist this season. Or no. He's resigned. He's left. So Sanchez is gone. We're starting a rumor that he's off to McLaren, but that is not a good start for your new team. It's a weird choice. You're wrong. And I will forgive you if you change your mind.
What if I told you my favorite Maybe my favorite team was Ferrari because of Charles, not so much the team. Because they do like to say that nobody gets fired at Ferrari. Everyone just resigns all of a sudden. Stress. It's always, yeah, it's just, I mean, it's definitely firing. It's like forced resignment, we'll say. Yeah. My favorite driver of all time, the greatest driver of all time, I think, is Lewis Hamilton. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I'm a fan of Lewis Hamilton, yeah. Obviously, there's a geographical bias.
Sure.
Because I like, you know, people get upset with that. I get accused of, oh, British bias. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because he's like from here. Like he grew up in a town that I've worked in for 10 years and stuff. And, you know, so yeah, I think there's a default when a British driver comes in. I'm like, oh, good. Because that's the default in sport, isn't it? No one complains when you support your local football team. You know, I'm not a glory hunting football fan. It just so happens I was born right next to Colchester United Stadium, the greatest football team that's ever lived. But that's not because I was chasing glory. I just happened to be born in that town.
Yeah.
No one gets upset with that. But for some reason in Formula One, you know, if you're British and support Lewis Hamilton, people say, oh, it's British bias. Forgetting the fact that every Italian is a Ferrari fan.
Yeah.
Every person in the Netherlands is a Verstappen fan. The whole of Mexico is Perez fans.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that geographical bias. But honestly, like, apart from the fact that he became statistically the greatest Formula One driver of all time, he's attacking, he's aggressive. He's always seems like he's 100% focused. Like, if you look how physically fit he seems, the amount of times he's out of breath in the car tells you something about his approach to the races. And I just think, you know, he's someone who gives it as much passion and drive as I like to pretend I would if I was there. There's nothing I hate more than when people who have seemingly everything you would ever want don't enjoy it. So, like, I hated Raikkonen. Raikkonen was one of the most popular, Kimi Raikkonen from Finland.
Yeah.
One of the most popular drivers. And his big stick, his thing was that he would give really short answers and he would say, I don't really enjoy it. Formula One's just a hobby for me. I wasn't listening. Don't talk to me on the radio. So rude and just like, meh, I guess I'll keep doing this for now. And I'm like, no, you don't get to live my dreams and then be like, meh about it. That's not cool. You turnip.
That's what I think we should just call. We should, instead of swearing, we should just make a, we should say vegetables in place.
I do that at home. I've done that with the kids for ages. I've just, I substitute swearing with vegetables. And then as a kid, when they were kids, I told them that every birthday you got a different type of vegetable as a present. So like, I would give them like two potatoes wrapped up in, and they'd go, oh, why have I got potatoes? Because you're three, you know, it's potato. Yeah. And then it would be like some green beans the next year. And then eventually they caught it on going, you're not supposed to give us vegetables.
Yeah, the kids start talking to each other. They intermingle too much.
What vegetables do you get
potatoes for your birthday?
I'm not a good parent.
No, that's up for debate. It's all relative. I think that the Lewis Hamilton thing last year, his back was hurting and because the car was just bouncing down the road. I remember he got out of the car and I was like, it can't hurt like that bad because I was unaware. And then I saw they would replay the video of him just like visibly, it was 3 to 4 inches. He was bouncing up and down for 50, 60 laps. I mean,
and he's like 38 now.
Yeah. He's up there in age for
how old are you? How old are you?
I'm 25.
25. How dare you?
Yeah.
Everything works. There's cartilage in your knees. no, but there is a distinct, you know, point towards, you know, as your early 30s are ending, where that's it. You're never going to get stronger,
but
naturally stronger. Obviously, you can go to the gym and work out. If you're a peak athlete, then your peak is going to drop off, you know, because you're already going to the limits of what you can do. So even Lewis Hamilton is going to be, and Fernando Alonso, they're not quite going to be at the same physical peak as they were. I played badminton with my kid yesterday. Within 10 minutes, I'd strained an Achilles and gone over on an ankle. Still beat him though. 12-year-olds are loving.
Can't let him beat you yet. When they beat you, I remember the time my dad and I were playing, we'd play baseball at catch, and he had to stop like after, I think I had to be like 10, 15. It was in that range. And he had to stop because he's like, my shoulder hurts. And I'm like, what is this guy's problem? What is this guy's deal? Like he was like 40. And I'm like, well, that explains it now.
No, that's it. And I have to like be really careful that my shoulder doesn't pop just playing catch with my kids. So I can relate to that. So like Hamilton, that would have been more of a strain on his body, that extreme bouncing and porpoising than it would have been, say, on George Russell, who is, I don't know, 7 years old, and you can just...
Yeah, I think he's younger than I am, which makes me feel...
Yeah, you 7 year old, yeah. You can roll them down the stairs and they're okay. So I don't think any of that was fake. And no. And this problem as well, it's not that you can do less necessarily, but like recovery times go up. You feel the pain more as well. You're fed up, the pain is there. And instead of being like, ah, oh, whatever, you're like, oh man. And of course, at 37, 38, or certainly 42 where I am, every pain could legitimately possibly be death. So, yeah. You know, I feel a pain in the side of me now. You go, oh no, this could be it. This could be it. Darling, I think this could be it.
Yeah. I mean, you never know. Like, you bounce up and down, he might never get his back may never be the same. Like,
exactly. Everything could be permanent at this point. I have to say, I did think that when my Achilles started to twinge yesterday, I went, that could be it. I could never, might never badminton again.
You'll never go over a certain speed again walking.
that ship has passed. But yeah, and it's sad that Hamilton, like, when you get someone like Lewis Hamilton, if you're a fan of his, and then you're counting down the years now, and you actually sort of dawns on you, like, oh no, there is a finite amount of time left, and it feels like a long time ago that I can remember watching F1 without Lewis Hamilton. 2006, you know, was the you have to go back to that, and you go, oh, that's an awful long time. So for me, as a British Lewis Hamilton fan, it's going to be weird not having.
Yeah, that's how it is for. So I was born outside of Cleveland, Ohio. So when I grew up, started watching sports, for example, the greatest athlete of my lifetime is LeBron James. And I would say that LeBron and Lewis Hamilton are similar in their sport, where they have every record. They have every anything you can pick, any stat you want to pick, they will dominate it. But there's this guy before them. In LeBron's case, it's Michael Jordan. In Lewis's case, it's Michael Schumacher. So they have similar trajectories in that they're both probably the greatest. But I mean, Lewis obviously has more titles, which is the deal breaker if he ever gets that eighth. Do you think he ever gets the eighth? Let's just have the American discussion, the sit down sports debate show. Do you ever think he gets the eighth title? This season doesn't look promising. They're throwing away their car concept, for those that don't know. They just want to get done with it. Are they going to, is he ever going to have that chance again? Do you think?
The odds are against him, because the way things tend to work in Formula One is you get, you know, every now and then, every 4 or 5 years, they tear up the regulations and they go, right, here's a new regulation set. And that is the biggest chance to shuffle yourself in that order, the first year or the second year of that. And Mercedes kind of look like they're really struggling with this regulation set. So like the last time, let's see, Red Bull came off the back of nearly winning 2009, and then winning 10, 11, 12, 13, and then 14, the cars changed massively, turbo hybrid engines, heavier cars, completely different concept. And they were just in the wilderness. Like, they could barely get around the track to start with. And then they just didn't have the concept to compete up with the top two until sort of 2019, 2020, they started pulling in results. But it took an awful long time for them to work back. So I'm actually genuinely worried for Mercedes that they're going to struggle this year, of course, even potentially next year. They might just not be a team equipped in this cost cap era and this regulation set to fight. Bit pessimistic, isn't it? But by the time change again, it's 2026. Lewis Hamilton is my age now, so he's like 42 by that point. Is he still going to be there and hungry and capable of sitting there and fighting for a championship? He's been in the midfield before, or not quite the midfield, but he's been struggling to get race wins before. But you know, he was whatever. What, he's your age.
He was young. He was like 20s. Yeah. He had to be young, like 20s. Yeah.
You've still got hope in your eyes.
Yeah. My eyes, they don't glaze over as easily. Yeah,
you've got energy. Look.
I know I'm up early for you. I had to make sure that I could be.
Well, of course. This, you don't have to get up to pee. So
no.
You just sleep straight through the night. Look,
that's when I know I'll be old, is when I start waking up middle of the night, maybe once or twice, to start going to the bathroom. Like, geez, my bladder, the valve is broken on the bladder.
I don't know if this is you can this, we're not live, are we? It's not a live.
No.
You can choose whether to keep this in or not. A big hazard that I've noticed in the last 4 or 5 years, a subtle change in the geometry of my testicles has meant that when I drop something, and you say you're sitting down and you drop something, and then your instinct is to close your legs together to catch.
Yeah.
Well, now when I do that, it is just like trapping your balls in a vice, and I sit there doubled over in pain. And my kids were, they asked me, and I told them exactly what had happened, and they were just doubled over laughing whilst I effectively drop kicked my own testicles. So look forward to that, young man.
I am looking forward. I mean, I'm looking forward to anything. my last question, you did say the Verstappen rule, and I missed the time to say this, but my Verstappen, my girlfriend and I started watching F1 together because she was interested in the drama of the show. I started watching the show on a whim because I was bored and people were talking about it. And she got into it because she's like, well, this is interesting enough. Sundays aren't so, like this past Sunday wasn't so interesting because we got treated to the F1 theme song again of the Dutch national anthem. Seeing the Dutch flag, the Dutch national anthem every Sunday for I think 70% of the races I've watched, I've had to hear endure the Dutch national anthem.
Get used to it.
Yeah, I kind of like it. It's grown up.
Yeah, look, and this is why when Vettel started winning after like years and years of Schumacher dominance, another German turns up and starts dominating F1. I was like, no, no offense to my German brothers, but just bog off. You're ruining football. You've ruined soccer. Now you're ruining F1 again.
Yeah, you guys won't leave us alone. Like, can't we have something? Like, I'm hoping. I just want Logan Sargeant to luck into a win, so maybe I could hear the Star Spangled Banner once my time.
Don't get hopes up. What kind of race would that have to be? Jeez,
maybe 15 car pileup, maybe a wet race at just something bad happens.
Okay, so your new Google Spa, the Spa Belgium Grand Prix 1994, I think I'll look it up.
Okay.
It was wet. And then up at the front, I think David Coulthard caused some chaos. And it was something like a 11, 12, 13 car pileup. And it was fairly slow speed because it was just coming out of that really sharp turn one down towards Eau Rouge. But it was just spectacular just watching carbon fiber mixed with water and spray. And of course, immediate red flag. And in those days, the teams were allowed a spare car. So what you would get is you would get the kind of the drivers racing back, hoping to get the T car, they would call it. But there was only one. So if you were in a team that had lost both cars, then, you know, the senior driver would get it. Spa 94. I'll Google that while you're...
Perfect. Well, my last two questions for you is, do you have in your time covering F1, watching F1, what is the craziest thing you can remember? Was it Abu Dhabi 21? With something you maybe encountered where you couldn't believe you were watching, you couldn't believe what you were hearing. What was that? Like, you maybe have been talking to somebody, craziest interview, things like that.
A long, long time ago, before Drive to Survive, so people keep telling me, I'll get over Abu Dhabi. And my answer to them is, I still haven't got over the Australian Grand Prix in 1994. Okay, and that was, 28 years ago?
Yeah.
So don't be expecting me to get over Abu Dhabi anytime soon. And so basically, it was the title showdown between the Brit Damon Hill and Michael Schumacher. So Damon Hill in his Williams, Schumacher in a Benetton.
He had to be in a Benetton at that point, yeah. I think.
And then, a study of history, I see.
I do. I watched. I had a lot of time to watch, like, the videos. They do find you on YouTube. If you watch one, you can see them all, so you can cycle through.
Yeah. So basically, if they both retired, Schumacher won. But I think if Hill finished ahead of Schumacher, he wins the title. And Schumacher basically has a bit of an off, and then Hill goes to drive around him. And it wasn't even an overtake. Right. He just had to drive around the car that was basically recovering from a little bit of an off. And Schumacher just drove into him, clattered him, broke the wishbone suspension. And I was like, well, he's cheated. He's driven into him. So that's happened. And then so Hill goes into the pits. Schumacher, I believe, retires. And the team take a good long look at the wishbone and they go, no, it would be unsafe to send him out. And I, whatever, like as if I care about safety as a.
Yeah,
you are. I'm screaming. No, go, just get him back out there. Get the win. And then so he retires, and they go, okay, but obviously they're obviously gonna ban Schumacher for that. But they don't. He completely gets away with it, and he wins the championship. And that was for me as a young man. That was like that stayed with me because there was just it was blatant cheating, and it just didn't get called up. It wasn't corrected later. And I thought, well. You know, and I know people make a lot of excuses. Oh, Hill should have been more patient, or oh, it was accidental. Like, no, rubbish. And they're just wrong. So if you encounter someone like that, you know that person is someone who is prone to being wrong about things.
Yeah,
because they're wrong about that. And then about three seasons later, Schumacher did pretty much exactly the same thing to Jacques Villeneuve, who then, but then the commentator said, oh, it didn't work this time. You hit the wrong part of him. It's like, yeah, even Murray Walker knew, knew that he'd done it on purpose to heal. And in that situation though, Villeneuve went on to like just win that race anyway, to win the championship in that race. But they retrospectively banned Schumacher and took away all his championship points. And to me, it's like, well, that was a bit empty because, you know, you didn't do it when he took the title. And if he'd have ended up winning that race, maybe they wouldn't have taken the points away. It's easy to take the points away from the second place driver.
Of course.
Very difficult to take the points away from the first place driver. And that bitterness, can you feel it?
Yeah, I can. You know, you the minute details that you have.
Oh, because it was just so like, why? And then this is why. And now you've got me onto Abu Dhabi 2021, which was obviously wrong, right? Mistakes happen. Bad calls from referees happen all the time.
All the time.
And so kind of at the end of the game, at the end of the race, I was like, wow, that is tough calls happen. That was a very, very tough call. This is unbelievable. But what really hurt was then it goes to the steward's office and they're in the steward's office, like debating it and stuff. And you go, well, in the cold light of day, given like an extra couple of hours to look at it, you go, yeah, that is not right. We need to void all the action underneath after the everything that happened after the safety car. That's really weird. It just shouldn't have happened. So that got voided. And so that didn't get voided. It stood. And then there was investigations afterwards. You go, well, given certainly now they're going to go, yep, Lewis Hamilton just should have won that race and the championship. I think it's the fact that nothing happened and then you're told to shut up and stop complaining about it. I will speak to you in 2047 and see if I
still remember it.
I'll still lead with the Schumacher bit and then Abu Dhabi second.
And then my last question, that Abu Dhabi one, when you watch it back, it's really bad because you know it's coming. Like now if you watch on YouTube, if you just search,
I can't watch it back.
I've watched it back and I even get like, I wasn't even watching live. I couldn't imagine watching live because you say bad calls happen, but that just seemed like a blatant bad call.
I couldn't believe it because you could see with the timing, you're like, okay, this race isn't going to finish. Like races finish under safety cars all the time. And then they've always had this thing where they let the lapped cars all unlap themselves. And I think technically you could have let the lapped cars stay where they were. So the lap cars unlap themselves, there's not enough time to finish the race. Lapped cars stay where they are. There's a big gap between Hamilton and Verstappen, and Hamilton just cruises back to victory.
To the finish, yeah.
But the fact that they just cleared the five cars that were in between Hamilton and Verstappen, cleared those five cars to get off their way, actually told the other cars not to unlap themselves and stay where they were. Yeah. And you go, that obviously can't happen. There's no way this stands. And it did. And so when I turned on Drive to Survive, ready to enjoy, can't wait for my look back to the 2022 season. The first 40 seconds was Abu Dhabi 2021. And I just went, nope.
it's a really tough watch, like back, because you hear them say nobody's going to unlap themselves. They come over the radio. And then I think Christian gets back on the radio, Christian Horner, and he says, yes, are you sure this is what's going to happen? The five cars up to whatever, the five car, I think it was Lando was the last car, and he drives by and it's game on, and Lewis had no chance.
No. Right. Why have you done this to me?
I wanted to send you into the weekend happy, right? I wanted to make sure you had a reason to maybe go out and get a couple drinks after this.
It's a genuine sporting, like, red letter day, like especially in F1, like it will forever be talked about and go down in history. You know, and that race director's not there anymore,
right? So for whatever reason, do you? And my last question: any hope for American fans? Is there any chance that Max Verstappen and Red Bull don't run away with this thing this year?
Yes, there is. Yeah, everyone's being super pessimistic, but this time last year, maybe like a few races in, people were talking about how quickly Ferrari would wrap up the title.
It was supposed to be over by Japan.
Yeah. And I think, you know, maybe they had like, there's a mental barrier, I think, in people's heads that once you get more than a race win ahead, you're not going to catch that up.
Sure.
And, but I just don't think that's the case anymore. You know, there's been loads of times where more than 25 points has been overturned and like Ferrari's, the wheels just came off the wagon last season. So tactically everything was going wrong. The development didn't seem to go in the right way. And also the rule change with the floors seemed to hit them particularly hard. So there are things like that happened. 2013, Mercedes genuinely looked like they could be title contenders. And then the tire regulations changed after after six races, and I had bet, I'd made £90 from betting on Wimbledon, and I was £90 up. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Mercedes looked really genuinely good in 2013, first six races. And so I said, let it roll. I put it all on Lewis Hamilton. And then they changed the tire regulations because about six cars had tire explosions down the Wellington Straight in Silverstone. And they went, oh, these wheels are dangerous. And they turned it into a stiffer compound, a stiffer sidewall composition that suited Red Bull massively because it meant that their previous year's aerodynamic concept worked more.
Sure.
And they didn't lose another race. I think they won every single race by like 20 seconds. And, oh. So look, things do happen. And I bet you now, Mercedes and Ferrari are like looking line by line
at
regulations. Basically, look for any area that Red Bull are doing well and then come up with some safety reason why that has to be changed. So they could do that. They could have reliability issues. They could have internal team fighting. There could be a mid-season rule change, or they could get one of the teams could just get their acts together a little bit.
I would hope so.
The problem is, you know, it's a car that has come off last season very, very well. So they really were in tune with the technical regulations. They've got a driver who's at his peak. So they've got a peak, kind of a generational talent driver at his peak with that team. And he's the number one out and out driver in that team. Perez is very much a number two driver in that team.
Sure.
So, I mean, there's not no hope, but
there's little hope. There's low hope. Low hope. Yeah, we'll say no hope. Not no hope, but low hope.
I would urge people, if you're going to get into F1 though, you know, don't worry about if someone's running away at the top. There's loads of things still to compete for. There's loads of great racing. Alonso versus Hamilton in Bahrain was some of the best racing we've seen in years. Gasly versus Tsunoda, they were dicing around the back as well. And look, what's your sports team?
The Cleveland Browns.
And are they do they dominate?
They get dominated. They've never hosted a home playoff game in NFL football. So.
Football. Oh, right. That's the handball. Yeah.
Yeah. Since 1999, since they've come back, me and the franchise are about the same age. They've never hosted a home playoff game. They've won one since I've been alive and greatest day of my life.
But you don't not watch the Browns because they don't win. You know, that's part of the sport. You know?
Okay. Perfect. Do you have me again?
Yeah. Yeah. Got you.
Perfect.
Where were we?
You were talking, you used to root for the football team Coventry City because telling you that the Browns were very bad my whole life. And I really, people are going to laugh because I do this little, I do a bit after every Browns game where I take a drink. I have a drink after the game because it's been so, in the beginning when I started the series of drinking for the Browns games, like after, I'd make this drink and they would be winning. They were 4-1 when I started and they actually won a playoff game the year I started. I was like, maybe I'm the good luck charm. Like I got in my own head. I was like, I'm the fix. And then all of a sudden, things came off the rails, and now they really never come back on. But hopefully, you know, there's always next year, we say here. So Coventry City was bad football team.
No, so I used to watch this team called Coventry City. Wasn't from Coventry, but I enjoyed watching them because although they would lose and they would be constantly fighting relegation at the bottom of the table year in, year out, they would lose like 5-3. Or like 8-7, like they were so attacking, and their goalkeeper was crazy and mad. I still remember his name, Agrizovich, and they would just go all out, and it was exciting football. And I just enjoyed the way they went about things. It didn't matter that they were always like 19th out of 26 or whatever.
Sure.
I would just urge people, you know, look at Formula One. Don't worry if there's someone dominating out the front, because that happens more often than not. In Formula One. So like, if you want to go back and go, what are the truly competitive series seasons? Okay, find a season with three drivers genuinely in the running for the title. You probably have to go back to 2012, 2010, 2003. Like more often than not, you know, it's one or two out of that pack. So you can't write off a whole season just because the team or the driver you don't like isn't competing for titles. Otherwise, there would be no Ferrari fans.
That's, I like the little twist of the knife there. If there was the last, I actually have one more. The last thing.
Yeah, that's fine.
The last thing. Do you have, if I had to pick a race to go to, I have a few choices for myself. I can't afford Vegas. I don't know if many of us normal people can. And by normal, I mean just not super rich.
Yeah.
Would you rather go to Austin, Texas or Montreal? Those are my two real choices at this point.
Oh, that's interesting. Ooh, okay. The better racetrack is COTA, is Circuit of the Americas. Sure. And a lot of people criticize the modern tracks as being sort of soulless, but they suit modern F1 cars, and they're wide enough that a car can kind of go off and it's not just out of the race, which for me encourages racing. A lot of older Formula One fans, they want the gravel traps and the grass and stuff. I'd prefer a little bit of runoff. I remember the days of a car makes a little mistake, goes on the gravel and is just stuck.
Well, Carlos Sainz will tell you that he does not.
Oh,
like
man, he looks for the gravel, doesn't he? He's a gravel seeking missile, is Carlos Sainz. But that was stupid. Like you wait all week to watch the race. Hakkinen makes a small mistake and then that's it. No Hakkinen for the rest of the race because he put some wheels on the gravel. It's a bit rubbish. And I don't know. I like the big wide open tracks as well, because some of the older tracks don't really allow for a lot of racing anymore, because the cars are too big, too wide. So, you know, design modern tracks to suit the modern cars. So tracks like Shanghai, Abu Dhabi's not a great example, but Circuit of the Americas, that were just built, Istanbul, built from the ground up to suit these modern race cars. I love them. And Circuit of the Americas has got character as a racetrack. And, you know, the turn one, they just built in just a massive hill for the cars to go up.
Yeah.
And just at the point that you need to be taking speed off, because I do a lot in the sim, and sim racing is basically the same.
I started playing the F1 on you because of you being on the Ringer show. When I started listening, you said to go grab the
go
F1
grab it,
game.
Any wheel. Yeah. Get any wheel, any joypad, any racing game. Just turn a wheel. Like, there is not an NFL fan in history that hasn't tried to throw a football into a bucket and gone like, yeah, I'm John Madden. I've got the right sport.
Well, you should say like Tom Brady, Joe Montana.
Tom Brady.
So you sound smarter. Yes, we could work on it.
I'm Tom Brady. And soccer fans, you know, forever are kicking a ball about, basketball fans throwing a hoop. So many race fans never turn a wheel because there's a snobbery about, oh, that's just karting or that's just a video game.
Yeah.
And nonsense, absolute nonsense. You know, I organize karting tournaments for my listeners. I put on sim racing events, and it really heightens your understanding of what the drivers are going through. Obviously nowhere near their level.
Of course.
But that's the sport and the competition of racing. But for example, from doing sim racing, you know, you go from that Circuit of the Americas, the hill crests just at the braking point. So you've got a kind of a choice in some of the lower powered cars. Like, do you wait to quote unquote land as you go over the top? Do you take the speed off as you go up into the corner? Do you take a really wide line, which is probably the optimum lap time, but invites a massive lunge from a car coming from behind? Yeah. And you can really get to grips and understand that kind of racing and conundrum. And it just helps you judge it a little bit better and get to play a very amateur game of you're the referee, you're the umpire, you know. Because we love doing that, don't we, from the sofa.
Like, yes.
What call would you have made? What strategy would you have made? And doing any kind of sim racing or karting massively, massively adds to that. So Circuit of the Americas for me is the best racetrack. Montreal's got a lot of history.
It does. It's also very narrow. What you're saying is, I think Montreal's very narrow.
Yeah, it's very narrow, and it's full of chicanes,
which
aren't my favorite method. I always find the racing's a bit messy around.
That's why I like the Bahrain track.
Gosh, yeah.
Because it's wide, it's very open, it's high speed turns. They're sure they're smaller.
It's good racing. There's always good racing there as well. It's suited for the modern F1 cars. So Montreal, it tends to be a dud of a race, unless you get a bit of rain or a safety car, in which case it has produced some really interesting and exciting races. And it does rain there often, and it has a high safety car percentage record. So I personally would go to Austin, and I would go and watch Circuit of the Americas. That's my pick. Oh, no. Turn one at the Montreal, where you got the big turn one into turn two. Oh, I can't. Why are you making a pick?
Well, you don't have to pick. I can maybe do both. We'll see how the money works, though. These things are not cheap.
Yeah. COTA would be first on my list, though. I think I would love to see the cars coming up that hill into turn one or lap one of a Grand Prix. That would be a dream.
No, I don't want to go to. I think I like the idea that they're doing. They're giving us all the shiny races here in the States. They're leaving at least COTA for us, but Miami and Vegas just seem like parties, and I can't party.
I'm in bed by nine.
So. Yes, I can't party with these. I don't have the facilities, I would say, the money. My credit card would get declined.
Silverstone's good. If you come over here, we're biased, but Silverstone is just incredible.
I've wanted to go. I've since I started racing on the F1 game, Silverstone was one of my favorite tracks because it is so wide open. It feels like you're pedal to the metal the whole way through.
And it's an old track that's kind of survived and to be suitable for Formula One cars as well. And going through Maggots and Beckett's in the middle sector, if you go and stand there at Maggots and Beckett's and just watch them fly past you, watching the change of direction through that left, right is just, it's stunning because it doesn't feel possible. Like even if there was rails for your car to go there.
It would flip off.
And it seems that's when you really see those cars doing what they're supposed to do. And it's a real wow moment the first time I stood at Maggots and Beckett's.
Those are my dream tracks would be Silverstone, Spa just for the Rouge. I don't know if I'm even saying that right.
Yeah.
And then, I think that's probably, I'd like to go to Monaco for the party as well, but I don't think I have, I don't have the facilities.
Yeah. Monaco doesn't seem like
if only I was going for the good times. I feel
if I had a yacht.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. If I had a boat, I'd like to dream that maybe I could put on some Ray-Ban sunglasses, go there, put on a nice little suit coat that's open. Maybe I have, a dress shirt on.
I'm trying to think my wish list now. I want to go to Barcelona before they stop running there because I feel like that's going to...
Well, they took out the chicane at the end, which I think should be good for it.
That should be good. That is one of the worst kind of chicanes. So like Montreal chicanes, a couple of them aren't too bad. So when it's an opening chicane, so you have to brake hard, basically aim for that first apex and then you've just got some lock on for the exit. That's kind of, it's okay, but you still get the messiness of, well, what happens if a car goes over that chicane? Like Vettel did it. Oh, I can't remember what year now, but Vettel did it one year.
He was wasn't he in a Ferrari? He got the time penalty.
He got a penalty. Yes. And then is that when he had a bit of that was Baku when he had his tantrum and drove it into Lewis.
And he's had a few tantrums. This was the funny part about him retiring last year was, we're going to miss Seb. It's like, well, he was kind of a dick. Everyone thinks,
good old Uncle Seb. He was a right tear away. But yeah, when he joined back on and then basically like shoved Hamilton into the wall, pretty much, it was certainly off the white lines. And that's where he got the penalty. And the racing is always messy, especially the last chicane in Montreal as well.
Because you come out of there going for me, it's miles per hour. It's like 200 miles an hour.
We use miles per hour here as well. But I don't know why Americans think that we use kilometers.
Well, I think the World Baseball Classic is this weekend. And I think that I always hear this funny sound bit where it's like, what is a kilometer? And then there's just bombs going off. And I'm like, yeah, that's funny. Whenever we're playing.
How tall are you in centimeters? I don't know. I have no idea.
Really?
No, we are, for so many things like weight, height, distance, we are completely imperial, nearly completely. Even though I agree that we should be metric, and metric makes much more sense.
Metric does make more sense, but we don't want to do it here. We broke away. That's what our thing was. We're like, we're not doing it. Everybody else has to do it. Conform to us when you come here.
Anyway, yeah. In conclusion, let's go to all the races.
Yeah, that's it. My favorite. Yeah, I mean, Spain, Barcelona would be good. That seems like. Do you have any Asian tracks you like? Any of the Asia circuits?
I guess politics no limit, money no limit,
nothing.
Okay. Okay, so the Indian Grand Prix circuit was really good. I really missed that one. And the last time that ran, though, was 2013, I think. And then Shanghai is the Chinese Grand Prix. That is just one of the best racetracks of F1 on Earth. And that's coming back next season, I believe.
It was supposed to be this year, but we have a big break coming up here soon.
Yeah. And then, it was supposed to be this year. That's right. Yeah. So there's a gap. And then the Malaysian Grand Prix as well. So Sepang. Yeah. The Malaysian Grand Prix, that track with its double home straight is amazing as well. So yeah, in fact, yeah. But Malaysia, apparently that one has gone to seed. There's like trees growing on the track or whatever.
That's weird. That's very strange.
Going back to that. So yeah, I think those are the Asian tracks. Yeah. Those two.
Well,
those three. Oh, in fact, Korea. That's a good circuit as well. But it was in the middle of nowhere and no one wanted to go. They like built it on a swamp.
When did they last race in Korea?
I'm going to say 2013 or 2014. So it's not coming back, but it was it was one of the sweeping kind of generation of these modern racetracks that I liked.
Yeah.
But then they weren't all necessarily sustainable.
Sure.
Financially.
Of course. Well, do you want to tell everybody where they can find you? Again, you get me within the first minute. I didn't even get to set you up for it.
Well, I'm scared. I was like, what if this What if this American just starts talking about how they gained independence and how you know we're the Redcoats or whatever, and didn't ever get round to promoting my show? Just search for Mist Apex podcast, mistapex.net. It's a Formula One show where a bunch of fans, basically we have a shared fan experience. And to warn you now, that there is wrong information because we're arguing a lot. So necessarily, if we're having a debate a lot, which we do, one half of that debate is wrong. So by design, quite a lot of our podcast is wrong. But we also bring in, we've got some friends in F1 media as well. So we've got Joe Sayward, who's been one of the oldest journalists in the paddock. We've got motorsport.com's Summers F1 to give us all the tech stuff. So we have a sprinkling of experts, but mostly it's been like this interview, just yelling.
Yes.
Talking about our balls, green track destinations, that kind of thing.
People that come to this podcast do not come for facts. I will say that. They will tell you that. Yeah. They don't come here for good information I'm not NPR is what I'm trying to say. I'm not the BBC or anything that does news.
No, because you can go and listen to a journalist, and there's a lot of podcasts that are like talking newspapers, here's the thing that happened and here's what I know that you don't know because I spoke to the person when I was there, and you go, that's brilliant. Thank you, Derek Reporterson.
I'm glad you did that for me because I was never going to do it.
Yeah, but if you want to instead listen to a middle-aged man in a unknown level of soberness yelling at his close friend that he's wrong, Miss Apex
podcast, that's for you. All right, I appreciate this so much. Go get a drink. Enjoy your Friday. Your weekend starts well before mine.
Oh, I'm a freelance presenter. Weekend starts whenever I want.
Perfect. Well, start it now. I appreciate your time, Spanish. Thank you so much.
Got to get up, got to get up, got to get up.